private investigator, car phone salesman, retired at 42, then it all went down the drains, the UK's most prolific business development author. Hello and welcome to the Practical Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Paul Morton, and we are talking about leadership, management, and the various lives that surround it. It's my joy, delight, and privilege to bring into my studio some of the smartest, wisest people I've been able to find for your delectation and enjoyment. And I hope that you do get a lot out of the conversations that we have here. When you realize that your management team has grown too fast, or you've inherited a new team, and the fastest, best lever you have for growth and improvement is attached firmly to those managers, get in touch. I help you run management, coaching, and training programs that'll make a big difference really quickly. You can find me at the Practical Leadership Academy website and on all the usual social channels. The UK's most prolific business development author, Peter Thompson, thank you very much indeed for joining me.
I'm absolutely delighted, Paul. Thank you very much indeed. I'm happy to be here.
So people will never consistently do who they aren't. What does that mean?
Isn't that a weird expression? I'll tell you where it came from. Some years ago, I've been in this sort of business for a long time, helping coaches, consultants, speakers, trainers, business owners to be more successful. But I was in business, in what we call real business, if you like, years ago, and I built and sold a business for a few bob. And I was thinking about 30 odd years ago, I was thinking to myself, why is it that some people never succeed to the level of success that their level of skill says they should? And I was sort of pondering it, and I came up with this idea about identity and realized that, firstly, that people will consistently do who they are, but the converse of that is that people will never consistently do who they aren't. So it prompts the question, who are they? So who somebody is their identity, their beliefs and values and various other things, but basically at the identity level. And there's a wonderful expression that says, long-term change happens at the identity level. So one of the reasons that training, and I was doing some training stuff and consulting and coaching, the reason some of that stuff does not work, not for me, but for everybody, is that we don't align the skills, the knowledge, the expertise we're teaching somebody with who they are. So this is the skill and this is who they are, and it does that, it doesn't do this. So part of the reason that we can get training to work is to make sure that we're questioning at the identity level who somebody is, and we're aligning what we're asking them to do with who they are. Why? Because people will consistently do who they are, but they won't consistently do who they're not. So that's where that expression came from, because of my fascination with how do you make training actually work?
I think we're already talking the same language. I like that very much. Because there's no way to get somebody to do something that they just don't believe in. As you said, it's values, it's beliefs, it's all that. And you get so many companies these days who say that their values are X, Y, and Z that they've pulled out of some corporate rubbish dictionary thing.
Yep.
That's not my values. My values come from my mother, come from faith, come from your life.
Yep. So, Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And it's just so important. And I actually, at the time when I developed that, I created an acronym to sort of understand for myself, and then I could share it with people, how I thought it actually worked. And then I learned something 20 years later and went, wow, that's the same thing. This is another guy. I thought, oh, this is wonderful. This worked. Let me share it with you. So the acronym I created was WELSI. And I said this, so what is it that makes people do what they want to do? So I said, firstly, it's the words. It's what they say about themselves inside their mind, outside their mind to other people, and what they believe from other people. So you and I know people who say they can't do maths, they're no good at mental arithmetic. And what's true about it? They aren't. And we know people who say they're always late. And what happens? They're always late. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So the words we use do something in our minds. And for me, what they do is they encode our belief pattern. In other words, what we believe about ourselves and the world. So that encodes belief. So what does that give us? Well, it gives us our attitude. And our attitude has two sides of it, which is in look and outlook. How we look at the world, are we positive, are we negative? How we look at ourselves. Are we of a growth mindset, as it's called these days, or a fixed mindset? I know I'm very much on the growth mindset, positive and all that type of thing. So words encode belief, gives you the attitude, which gives you, and I prefer the American pronunciation, leverage. So you get leverage, which is a way in towards motivation. I mean, there's only three reasons we take action as humans. It's either we don't want that bit, or we do want that bit, or it's reflex. You know, a tree starts to fall towards us, we jump out of the way. I mean, it's just reflex. And of course, another word for reflex, which is a fantastic word when it comes to doing things, is habit. A reflex is a habit that built over time. So we've got words, encode belief, attitude, leverage of a way in towards, which means we take action. And when we take action, we have a result. And who's it down to? You. So words, encode belief, attitude, leverage, take action, have result, you. Wealthy. And then years later, I saw Robert Diltz's pyramid, what's classically known the Diltz pyramid, which was identity at the top. Next level was beliefs and values. Next level, skills and capabilities. Next level, behavior. Next level, environment. Now, that's exactly the same as what I was just saying. That's the same as wealthy, the same as my process. I looked at that and went, wow, this Robert Diltz is clever. He knows the same things I know. I'm playing, but you got the idea. And I went, I love it. It absolutely works. And so one of the reasons that training and various other things don't work is that we're not addressing the identity level for somebody. We're only talking about behavior. Well, behavior is only level two. You know, there's the bottom level, your environment, your results. And if that's not working, what do? You look at what you're doing to achieve that. And that's where most training is. It's at the behavioral level. Mm. Great. But it fades. It just fades away. It's a hot bath, isn't it? You know, you've got the idea.
It's not a habit. And how do you create habit? I mean, what's the thing? I think it's Seneca. We are what we repeatedly do.
Exactly. Exactly right. And Earl Nightingale said it beautifully, didn't he? He said, you become what you consistently think about day after day. Badly phrased, but that was his. Yeah. Mine is, what you say will be the way.
What you say.
Love it. What you say will be the way. You know, what the mind of man can conceive and believe it can achieve. And all the things that you and I know about, that's Napoleon Hill, right? All of those things are the same. My simple version is, what you say will be the way. If you say you're no good, then you're no good. If you say you're brilliant, you probably will be. If you say you're happy, surprise, surprise.
My wife has a lovely one. Should we tell the kids this as well? Is that frankly, nobody cares if you're happy or sad, so you might as well be happy.
Yeah, love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it.
So many people listening to this, both my listeners, you know, hello mother, are going to be thinking about the joy of work. Now, you've got a job, and hopefully that's going to last a good long time, but we know lots of things. We're getting on in years, we've learned many, many interesting skills, and we are looking to share them with the world. That, I understand, Peter, is your area of expertise. How do I take what I've learned over the many years of my career and put it in front of people in such a manner that they are willing to pay for it? My definition of an expert is somebody whose knowledge and expertise is sought and repeatedly paid for.
Indeed. Well, love it. Now, yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Who's in the name of your book? Paid. Holding it up there, if you're watching us on the podcast, you can't see it. But there we go. He's holding up a very nice looking book there, which you can see at the thepaidbook.com.
Correct.
Cracker. How do I go? Now, I've been like, I'll use me as an example. Now, you can coach me quite happily because I'll take any free knowledge I can get my hands on. I'm a sponge. So there I was working for 20 years, ended up as a fairly senior board in my company, knowing lots of stuff. Rug was rapidly pulled out from under my feet. Now, quite happily, I had put my mind in the right place and was ready for it and also knew it was coming and managed to get some decent little consulting gigs. And I'm starting to build, it's only been 3 years now, to build a practice. But what would you say to folk who are in a vaguely similar situation to I was a few years ago? They know lots of things. They want to have the same thing. They want resilience. They want something else just in case. Something to retire on. Something to buy the yacht. Talk to us, Peter.
I will do. Okay. So you used a key word for me there in the start of that, which was the word expert. I interviewed a guy, I've done a lot of interviews over the years, 172 of them. And I interviewed a guy years ago called Roy H. Williams, known as the Wizard of Ad, genius of a guy. And he taught me one major thing that I added to my knowledge. so useful. And he said, I believe him, that we've got to decide whether or not we're looking for the relational client or the transactional customer. Now, I don't deal with transactional customers. It's not my marketplace. So anyone who's thinking of transitioning from being employed to being self-employed, in other words, the place where you have the most control over your life is when you work for yourself. There is no redundancy, you know, that it's just the best place in the world because you have total control over everything. You become as successful as you want. You earn at the level you want. You get to choose who you work with, when you work, where you work, how you work. You get complete and utter freedom of choice of everything in your life. And I call it building for yourself a business and a life of choice. So if you decide to do that, I believe the best way to do it is to decide at the front, you're only going to deal with relational clients. Now, relational clients look to the supplier, me and you, and anybody else, to be the expert. And it's not a transaction, it's a relationship. And so as the expert, you have to walk like the expert. You have to talk like the expert. You have to have a book, like experts have books, right? Why? Because when you're an author, you immediately trigger three other letters, I-T-Y. Author, I-T-Y, authority. So you become an authority in your marketplace if you have a book. And you can have a book that's small and short and whatever. Some of my books are 60 pages, right? They're the perfect reading thing. It takes about an hour to read and you can put great information in there. So decide who you want to deal with. Secondly, never, even though you frame it this way, never charge for your time. Charge for the value that you deliver. Because if you focus on value rather than on time, then you're not going to compete on time. You might quote it as time. Somebody might say what your day rate is, and you're not going to answer that question anyway because you're going to say, you're going to find out what it is that they want. Because they either want a problem solved based on your expertise, your knowledge, your experience, your expertise, and by the way, your take on it, which I'll talk about in a moment, or you're going to capitalize on an opportunity they've got and show them how to maximize that opportunity for themselves. Now, how do you position yourself in the marketplace? Firstly, as an expert, do you walk like an expert? You talk like an expert? You have a website, et cetera, et cetera. You have a book. And you have content that you put out there on a regular basis, the way you're doing this book. So you're sharing knowledge with people out there to position yourself as the expert because people like to deal with experts. So you're going to share your knowledge, your experience, your expertise, and the important bit, your take on it. Your take is what nobody else has. It's that bit that differentiates you from the marketplace, and that's where the money is. So this is number one, is to decide on a fee that you think you're going to charge in the marketplace. And it sounds glib, but it's really true, is then double it, because you'll have it wrong for sure, right? The number of people I deal with, who are coaches, consultants, speakers, et cetera, particularly, say, consultants, and I work with them on a one-to-one or they're part of one of my various programs. And I say, so tell me what your day rate is. You know, the average day rate these days, £1,250, right? And immediately that person is throwing away another £245 because no one is saying yes at £1,250 and no at £1,500. Now, you might say £1,495, but for every time a day you charge £1,250, it's throwing away £245. I mean, and if you're doing 100 days in the year, it's £24,500. So that's crackers, you know? So the next thing is you want to be creating for yourself what's called a category of one. So you want to be the only person that does what you do. So how do you do that? Well, start charging for your take because nobody else has got that. So you specialize in a particular market, in a particular skill, in a particular outcome, or particular problem solving, and you position yourself with your book, with your content, with your videos, with your YouTube channel, to that one thing, and you become known for that one thing. And then when you become known for that one thing, then the fee rate is different. Let me give you an idea. I have a client of mine that teaches public speaking to C-suite.
Yep.
And he was charging about £1,500 a day. And I said to him, I won't use his name. I said to him, this is crazy. You are undercharging for the value you deliver, right? And I gave him just one idea, and we changed his day rate, right, from 1,500 a day to 4,000 a day, like that, right? No problem whatsoever. And all I did to him, I said, look, instead of quoting it as a day rate, quote it as a delegate rate. And you quote £395 a day for the training that you do, a day's training, £395 a day, minimum 10, £3,950. Now, if there's five people in the room, it's still minimum 10. If there's 12 people in the room, you get paid for 12 people. So suddenly you've got £4,800 until I'm getting rounding the numbers up, obviously. And he did this, and of course it just works, because £395 a day to charge a C-suite executive is pennies for the impact, the value, because what I believe we get paid for is the value we deliver and the cascading impact we make in our world. And when we think of it in that way, it's got nothing to do with the hours you put in. It's what you put in the hour. I will. Okay. For the value we deliver and the cascading impact we make in our world.
The cascading impact we make in
our world. If I help a business client make £100,000 extra, that affects him or her. But it affects their family. It affects their colleagues, their staff. It affects the suppliers of that business, who are now going to supply more. It affects the community because of the tax they pay and the extra money they're going to spend. And it's going to affect the money that their staff spend in their communities and their families. And we don't drop a pebble in the pond. We drop this flipping great brick. Man, and the ripples everywhere. It's just amazing. And that's what you get paid for. So don't charge tuppence a day to do it, because it's not the hours you put in. It's what you put in the hours. So that's the first thing. The second thing, if you're going to go on to this new path of independence, building a business, a life of choice, and this is an absolute must-have, and I've been doing this for 50 years. I've been in business now for 52 years. I know it doesn't look possible, but it's true, right? 52. And I've been doing deluxing for 52 years. What do I mean by deluxing? When I was first in business, I originally worked in the bank and the usual sort of corporate life, and I left early, and I became a private investigator. And I was specializing with the company I worked for, tracing absconded debtors. And I quickly decided to go on my own, and I started a tracing business many years ago. And within 2 years, we were being asked to trace, this is the real figure, Paul, 4,000 people a month, because I was concentrating on corporate clients who had bad debts because they'd lost the people who'd run away with the TVs and the radiograms in those days, and shopkeepers. And I specialized in shopkeepers. And one of my first clients was Cadbury's, what became Cadbury Schweppes. And I just went to them and said, send me the missing people that your other people have tried to find and can't. And I will do it for you on a contingency basis. If I can't find them, I won't charge you one penny. If I can, I charge you my fee, which was £4, would you believe? That's how long ago it was. Because I knew if I found a certain percentage, I could make £4 work. And of course, I could find them. That was my game, you know. And so I gave them as a client. Then I gave Schweppes and then Carreras Rothman and Imperial Tobacco and all the people who were looking for the same people. And that's how I built that up. But apart from charging the £4 to find them nothing if I didn't, I had a deluxe version, which was £25, win or lose. And that was for clients that trusted me, which they did, to spend more time and effort finding somebody where the debt was high enough to justify that investment. And ever since, I've done deluxing. So as a consultant, I would say to a consultant, you must have a deluxe offering, and probably a double deluxe as well, but you must, from the start, you must have a deluxe offering. What do you mean, Peter? Well, the normal offering you have is this. You do this for somebody, great. And the deluxe one is they get more time with you, or they get follow-up, or they get material, or they get this, or they get coaching on the back end of the training, or whatever it is. You create a deluxe offering. Why? Well, firstly, you've got to contrast your normal pricing. And secondly, you'll find that a certain percentage of your clients will go, I want the deluxe. In fact, when I show this to people, they come back to me and say, I can't believe how many people say yes. Right? And your deluxe wants to probably be about 2 to 5 times more than your standard. So going back to your original question, and you gather I will talk all day, is that if somebody's thinking of that transition, and then they start off by saying, right, I'm only dealing with clients. No customers, only clients. I'm going to set myself as the expert. This is what I'm going to offer the market. My knowledge, my experience, my expertise, my take on it, and here's my deluxe offering.
That's not a bad start for 10, I think, Peter. Okay, so I've got my idea of what it is I can do. I'm an expert in a particular field. The thing that I deal with is I help executive teams and managers with the foundations. My definition of excellence is the basics done very, very well, repeatedly.
Like it.
So I can help management teams understand really what it means to be a manager of people.
is these days people quit a company because of the relationship they don't have with their manager that they wish they did, because their managers just don't know how to do the job they've been asked to do. That's what I do. I do it very good, well. I charge them a lot of money for it. But that's my idea. So I've got my idea. I've made my inter website. I've got my YouTube videos. Everything's going out and humming along. How did I go and find my first clients?
I knew you were going to ask that question. I'm going to show you. I'll just get up and get something to... So this is what you do, is you write a book.
Okay.
And you write a book that's this thin.
All right, it's a very thin book. Peter's holding up a book that looks like it's a... It's cool. Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the thickness of something like The One-Minute Manager.
Correct.
Million copy bestseller.
Ken Blanchard. Yeah, absolutely. Ken Blanchard, One-Minute Manager, a wonderful story. And built on a story, very simple. This book has 67 pages, and it's called How to Write a Book for Your Business in Just 10 Weeks or Even Less. Attracts clients, increases your reputation, and makes more money. And who's it for? It says across the top, coaches and consultants, right? Yeah. So what you do is you create a book, which is a simple process. It actually explains it in this. And I'll show you how somebody can get that for free, by the way. So you create a book, and then you advertise that book in the marketplace in which you want to be. Let's say you're going to use LinkedIn, and you're going to advertise it with a post, with an article, with connections, with an aid advert, and you're going to put it out there aimed at your marketplace. And what's important about it all is the title. The title must speak to three things. The person you're talking to. So this says across the top, coaches and consultants, so it's pretty obvious who it's for, yeah? It says, it implies that it's either a problem or an opportunity. So this talks to the idea that most coaches and consultants will have thought at some stage in their life, you know, I really ought to write a book. They'll have had that thought. I should write a book, position myself in a marketplace. And I agree with it. And then it tells you there's a solution. So how to write a book for your business in just 10 weeks or even less. Now, to give you an idea, this isn't me being a smart aleck. I actually wrote the original copy of the book, which was this one, How to Write a Book for Your Business in 5 days or Less, right? But people don't believe 5 days. So I had to use a little word you may not have come across. You might know it. Verisimilitude, which means having the appearance of truth, right? So your marketing must have verisimilitude, must have the appearance of truth. So I changed it to 10 weeks because it's more believable. But I actually wrote it. I actually did the writing in 80 minutes. Because all I did was a webinar on this topic. And then I had it recorded, transcribed, and edited. And that was the book.
Love it.
Isn't it? So you create a book that speaks to three things: the person, the problem, the possible solution.
Mm-hmm.
And you put that in the marketplace. And anybody who matches those three things that goes, oh, that's me. Oh, I've got that problem. Oh, you can solve it for me. I'll have that book, please. And you give the book away for free, not a PDF. You can do PDFs if you like, but you get this book and you put it in the post. And it's going to cost you about £5 to £6 to print it, package it, send it, stamp it, put a letter with it.
Physical book.
That's a physical book. Why? Because people download PDFs. They keep them on the front screen of their computer. They never read, well, they read them occasionally. They don't certainly read all of it. And they don't read it in the order you want them to read it in. And they don't get to where your message is because you've buried it on page 40. Right? So it doesn't make sense. So you get the book in the post. And you put it in. Let me just get a hold of one of these. If I could just quickly find one, it won't be a moment. It's a problem, I can't. Well, can't quickly see. But my book goes out, and it goes out in a jiffy bag. And on the outside of the jiffy bag, it says, it's red jiffy bag for the paid book. And it says on the front, it's a space for their name. It says, you're about to get paid.
Very clever.
Right. So that's what lands on the mat. So you make that a bit different and you go out there aimed exactly at your market. So with the paid book, it appears not to say who it's for, but it actually says it as a testimonial. It says, a must read for anyone who charges fees. That's who it's for.
Yeah.
It's really clear who it's for. Okay. So you put that book out in the marketplace, and then people will put their hand up and go, that's me. And then you have a follow-up process. because you ask them to go to the website to fill in their details to get the book. So you need the name, you need their address. Oh, that builds your list. And you need their email. Oh, that builds your email list. And you ask for the phone number.
Mm-hmm.
And those who feel they can trust you will put the phone number in, and those who feel they can't won't, and you don't want to talk to them anyway.
There you go.
So most people will say to you, don't ask for the phone number, you'll reduce the response rate. That's what you want.
Yeah, totally. Oh, yes, I'm all
for it. You want to reduce the response rate when you're looking for clients. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for customers to buy your book and your products and all the rest of it, you want as many as possible. That's different.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking to have a conversation, meaningful conversation, with somebody because you're doing this transition to be able to sell your knowledge, experience, expertise, your take on it, you need a phone number, right? Now, you might be able to find the phone number on LinkedIn or a bit of trawling around, but why not ask them? Why would you do that? Because it gives them an opportunity to say three words, I trust you.
Mm.
What a wonderful start to a relationship. They've seen you're an author. They know you're credible. They've landed on your webpage and they've gone, I can have this for free. Of course. Yeah.
Right. I've got a customer. How do I get
a client?
Beg your pardon. I've got a client. How do I turn one client into a business?
Right.
I need more than one.
Of course. Once you have decided the type of client you want and you've created your avatar, so you know exactly who you're looking for, the type of person, then you can do outreach strategy on LinkedIn very easily.
Mm.
Right? You connect with people, but don't just connect like a shotgun. You want to be connecting like a rifle to say, this is this person. This is the exact sort of person I want to talk to. Secondly, you would have a systemized referral process, not an ad hoc referral process, a systemized referral process. So at a certain point in the relationship with a client, when you've offered some benefit, and that's for you to decide when that is, you would say to them, with a scripted way, that you want more clients, right? And who could they refer you to that could give them, that you could give the same benefit to them. And you'd say to your client, you'd say, look, what I'd like to do with anybody that you felt I might be able to help, I'd like to send them free of charge a copy of my book as an introduction. Who would you like me to send it to?
There you go. Referrals.
Like referrals.
You're doing things. I mean, honestly, I think the as a revenue leader is what I do as well. Outreach is hard these days. Inbound is hard these days. Referrals and partnerships, I think, because you lean into trust. You lean into trust. I trust Peter. Peter, who do you know who does a thing? You should talk to that guy because.
Yeah. And let me add a little nuance to this. And it's all, for me, the way I look at this, Paul, is that we say to ourselves that everything that we do, we go next level. How can I take this to the next level? Oh, I'll have a deluxe version of my offering. That's next level, right? When it comes to referrals, we don't call it referrals. We call it personal introductions. That's the next level. You take it out of the mundane and you make it special, whatever it is that you do, right? So, for example, you don't give people a PDF. You send them the actual book. Now, you can give PDFs. I mean, I give this as a PDF as a bonus with paid. Mm-hmm. So when somebody gets paid, right, and they get the paid book, get so many templates and bonuses and stuff that goes with it, one of which is a PDF copy of how to write a book for your business in 10 weeks or even less. It comes in the deal. You get it as a bonus. It's free, right? Because I know for people who want paid and want to charge fees, one of the things they really need to be doing is creating a book. And writing a book like this, seriously, is done. You can do it You can do it in 10 weeks. You really can do it in 10 weeks. It's such a simple process. When you know how to do it, it's a simple step-by-step procedure. Except.
All right. I'm going to go and write a book. I've decided. You've sold me on it. Totally sold me on it. So I've written my book. I've got my referrals.
Yep.
Next. Where do I take it from here? What's the just wrap this in a bow for me then, Peter. What goes
I will. Okay. Where we take it from here is there's just a couple of mindset things we get, okay? And then the first, and then how we do the money bit. So the first bit with the mindset is this. Number one, we learn how to sell. We've got to understand the process of persuasive communication. But then number two, we have to stop selling and we allow people to buy. And that is just a mindset change. It's so simple to say in a couple of seconds, but once somebody gets it at a visceral level, their life will change forever. Learn how to sell. Stop selling. allow people to vie. You don't want to go around trying to convince people. You want to go around being convincing. Totally different business, right? Not trying to convince somebody. I don't mind if we do business. I would love to. I care, but I don't mind, right? You know, one new client is going to make a difference to my life. I mean, and we have to think that way. We've got to be strong about this. We have to live in a little village just south of Arrogant, right? Not north of Arrogant, just south of Arrogant, which is north of Confident, by the way. Okay, so we've got to be sure of what we can do because we're confident about the efficacy of what we do for our clients. We know it works. It's up to them where they work. So we're not trying to convince people. The next thing is we've got to go through a stage of slowly but surely increasing our fees to the point where people say no. And I think most people struggle to find that when they know how to do this. So we've got to get charged for our knowledge, experience, expertise, and our take on it. We've got to position ourselves. And then we need to simply say, well, what would be the right level of income? And for most people, when they hit 20,000 a month as a consultant, and they're doing about 250 a year, they're going, this works. This works. They're not having to work all the hours, right? Because they've got their things right. They've got the pricing right. And if you think of it at the start, let's say that you were charging 2,500 a day. You need eight clients. I mean, you need eight clients. You're dealing with two clients a week. You know, if you've got eight clients and they're paying you 2,500 a month because you're providing fantastic value. You're adding backup materials that they never got from anybody else. You've got this deluxe version running for them. They love you to bits. They refer you to people. Because here's the mistake, as I see it, Paul, is this. If you were talking to me about a client, a consultant you'd use, and I said to you, was he any good? And you went, he was fantastic. Or she was fantastic. I said, fabulous. Did you get great benefits? Oh, brilliant. I made a fortune. Were they expensive? No, they were cheap as chips. You wouldn't say that. You wouldn't want to say that. You'd want to say this. Were they expensive? You'd say, Peter, hell yes, they were expensive. But boy, were they good. They were worth every penny. That's the referral you want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't get that if you're cheap as chips because people don't refer cheap advice.
Mm.
They free advice and expensive advice. But cheap doesn't cut it. Yeah, I never do cheap. I'll do free. You know, I remember a client asking me to run his award ceremony for him. And he said, but Peter, we can't justify your fee to come for the hour. I said, not a problem. I'll come for nothing. He said, what, for nothing? Don't you want expenses? I said, no, not a penny. Feed me. Feed me on the night. That'll do. Because it's either free or it's the fee.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it's got to be, isn't it? So this is then you decide what it is. And then you set your stall out in that way. And how many clients do you really need? Because if you think about it this way, the more time off you take, the more money you intend to make, because you know you've got to make it in a shorter period of time.
It's true. I was one of the things I discovered having children is exactly how much I could get done in how little time. I think my wife and I, we say to each other, if we'd known that, how effective we could have been, we'd be running the world by now.
That's like I've got four sons. I understand.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
Mm.
Right. Let's wrap this up then, Peter. Do you have a last takeaway? If you had to write something on a billboard that the entire world would see, what would it say?
Excellent. I would say, and it's a reiteration of something we said because it's the most important point, make sure that when you are thinking about your fees that you are charging as a professional, just the way a surgeon or a top-level doctor would, because that's who you are like that. And you're charging for the value you deliver and the cascading impact you make in our world. And if you do that, you build for yourself a business and a life of choice where you get to choose everything. And if that's not the way to live, I don't know what is.
ThePaidBook.com. Go there. I'd highly recommend that. Where else can we find you, Peter?
Get that free. That's the place to go. That's the best place to go. That's the best place. Go and have a look at Paid. It's £20. I think it's £19.90, and it comes in the post, and it's fantastic. People come back to me and say it's the hardest book to read. Why? Because they get an idea, they start taking action with it, and then suddenly that's working. I mean, I struggle to get time with some of my clients because they make so much money and are so much more successful. I'm being serious, right? That they struggle to book the time to do the next level. That's the best place. Go get a copy of Paid. Get all the bonuses that come with it. Learn how to write a book, and you've lit the fuse. Trust me.
Fabulous. Mine's in the post. And watch this space when I've written my book, which will be fabulous. because I'm going to copy and steal all the best ideas from Peter Thompson. Thank you very much indeed for joining.
My pleasure.
And that's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you for joining me. If there's ever anything I can do to help you on your journey, then do please reach out. You can find me on LinkedIn and all the usual sources. Do please subscribe, leave me your 5-star review, and most importantly, get in touch with your comments and feedback. It's really how I grow, and that's what I'm doing this for. Thanks again.